Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show. Breaking news. The White Sox have fired Pedro Grifol.
I'm happy that Pedro Grifol is gone.
Doggone.
Of all of the problems in the White Sox, to not acknowledge a problem is a problem.
Who's the interim manager? How can you not put that in the release?
I'm with you on that. That feels like something that you should have planned out.
Breaking news.
The White Sox also dismissed bench coach Charlie Montoya.
So now you've got your answer to the question of Why didn't they name a manager?
You're finished. Go. You're fired.
Breaking news.
Daryl Venskowin says third base coach Eddie Rodriguez has also been fired.
You're fired. And in case your ears are, get the out.
Do you want to manage?
No. Nope.
Sure. I'll manage. Just got to give you more money. Oh, you're fired. Okay, great. Keep your eye on Grady Sizemore.
Okay.
Breaking news.
White Sox Twitter just issued a press release. Grady Sizemore named interim White Sox manager.
Way to go, Dan.
You're right.
Everything they do is backwards.
It's a very weird way to go about this.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Well, that was a wild one. That was quite a day yesterday.
Pretty wild.
Things just kind of start happening, and then they keep happening, and you thought they were done when they sent out the release, but they weren't done, and then they kind of stumbled their way through a press conference, and we're still not quite sure.
It wouldn't be the only stumbling that they'll do.
No, it won't. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by our local Hyundai dealers. We're going to have James Fegan at 11 high noon, 11:45, Joshua Perry at noon, Kevin Fishbane at 1 to get you ready for the Bears and the Bills. Noon kick tomorrow?
Sure.
Is that right?
It's fine.
Perfect. Absolutely ideal. You know, wake up, get the workout in, get a little bit of food, some coffee, do a couple of puzzles, and watch a little bit of football. Nice.
And, I mean, the weather's so nice the next couple of days that You get outside, it's a little crisp, it kind of feels like fall.
Yeah, but when you hear the jets roaring overhead, too, if you're going to be downtown, especially look at the high sky today. You talk about optimal viewing if you're into the air and water show stuff.
Well, take care of your pups.
Yeah, take care of your pups. I'm just concerned how it affects the fishing. But if the fish like Chapel Roan, maybe they like the roar of jet engines.
I mean, I'm not a fish expert or a fish expert, so I can't help you there.
I have no idea how it affects their feeding patterns. I know that the northwest wind, a little drop in temperature might get a little active, but then the F-35s and the FA-18s come roaring in and maybe they're not hungry. I don't know. We'll find out.
I just know that being out there this morning is glorious. This is a good Chicago day.
Yeah, I drove in with the windows open and the air conditioning off. It was kind of nice. You know,
yeah.
You hear the sights and sounds. You're not used to it, and then you hear something like, was that my car? No, that's this guy's car with a loose serpentine belt next to me that's squeaking. Because I get all worried because I'm not used to hearing all those sounds with the windows open in the summer.
So get out and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, yeah, do that. Because we are going to get you ready for another Bears game. We got Cubs and Sox going on to the extent that that's important to you.
I'm going over there just because I was invited by some friends, but I mean.
But what?
Everyone kind of knows where I stand on the whole Sox fan thing. I'm trying to find places for Sox fans to find hope, and I can't.
Well, that's because maybe there aren't any.
Yeah.
It's not your job to come up with something that doesn't exist.
It's true. And it sucks.
Yeah. It really does. And the people you unfortunately have to trust to fix it, you haven't earned it, don't elicit it. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to think, okay, we're in good hands here. Everything's going to be okay.
None of this feels good.
Nope. But we still have the Bears and all of the hope for the season and all of the excitement.
There's a lot of hope there. There's hope trafficking there. There's a lot that's happening there.
Yeah. And
but it's exciting to see that the first unit is going to play. This will be Bears fans' first opportunity to see Caleb Williams play. So that's super exciting.
And we'll have a massive overreaction, I'm sure. A massive overreaction. But he's going to play. So we have Bears coach Matt Eberflus detailing what Caleb playing means. What is it? Why is he playing and what does he want to see?
Just more what we see now, where he is in terms of the progress. You know, and this is his first time in live action. He's been getting a lot of good reps with our one defense, so I think it'll feel similar to him. But I really feel that when it's live there in the pocket, to be able to maneuver in the pocket, ride the pocket, escape either on the outside, B gaps, all those things, and be able to deliver the ball and keep your eyes downfield. And really just the operation of it, getting in and out of the huddle, no pre-snap penalties, just clean operation.
Sure. That's what you want to see, and we'll get an idea of what the offensive line is configured like because you've got injuries, and now we'll get into some of the contingency stuff that they're going to do.
Already,
because Nate Davis is week to week. Ryan Bates left practice yesterday.
Did we get a follow-up on that? Because I didn't see one.
I have not. Maybe we'll find out something later on today about that. So we'll see. We'll see. But I'm excited to see. Like, it's one thing, I'm glad that last week Caleb went through the motions of, I'm going to get dressed. I'm going to go work out like in my Bears jersey. Then, you know, I'll come out, I'll be on the sidelines helping out and all that good stuff. And you saw throughout the Hard Knocks that, you know, he was right there with the other guys, helping them out, cheering them on, which I think is good.
Listening to the play calls.
Absolutely. Now he gets to kind of go through it. And remember that the goal was 45 to 65 snaps for him over the next three games. So you figure a couple series in this one, you go through all the stuff next time, including, well, let's get you through halftime and see what that's like. Then a few snaps for the finale, and then it's on.
So much of this is out of coach's control, and you just have to kind of surf the outcomes of each series because, you, as Brad Biggs pointed out with Mulligan Haw this morning, just because the Bills say that they're going to have Josh Allen out there for a quarter, that's not really how coaches necessarily look at it. You could have a quarter where you have one drive. The last four or five plays, three plays, you're done. So, like you say, they're counting snaps.
Yeah.
And it may just be, all right, well, that drive fizzled or there was a, you know, they fumbled the snap and he was off the field. They just get in enough work and then get him out. And don't worry about whether it's this quarter or that quarter or not. It's just, it's nice outside of the Caleb Williams stuff. I think it's nice to have roster battles among good players instead of roster battles among terrible players. That's a big difference. It really does, because the last few years, the bottom of this roster has been non-NFL guys.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of that. So now things are going to be better.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
They're a better team. Whether they're able to have the results improved to the point where they're materially better near the end of the year and not just in the hunt. In the graphic. Let's hear from an OG, Mercedes Lewis. He was talking about Caleb Williams, and he's impressed with the intangibles.
He'll come find you on the sideline and be like, yo, big dog, what'd you see there? Or Cole, what'd you see? Or DJ, how do you think we could have ran that route or made this better? Like, he wants it. You know, he's not a guy that's like, oh, throw a pass, go back, on to the next one. Like, it's more so like, you know, after a certain period, it's like, okay, how can we get better going into the next period? And you keep doing that. You stack those up, you know, you'd be a good player by the end of it. I'm pretty sure I speak for the whole team. He's impressive, and he's a guy that listens more than he speaks. So he's learning at a really fast rate. All the praises from me.
How about that? I'm pretty sure I speak for the whole team.
Who's going to say no?
That's what I mean. Like, who in the NFL could say something like that and have everybody nod?
Yeah, no one's going to say no to that.
I'm pretty sure I speak for the whole team. Oh, do you? Okay, great. Awesome.
Why is that? Well, because I've been in the league for 20 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm older than some of our coaches.
Like, okay. That sounds like a
cool.
A really, really good reason why you might be that dude.
Always like hearing from Tremaine Edmonds also, and the Bears linebacker is similarly excited for Caleb Williams' first live game action.
I think all of us are. You know what I mean? Like, it's a new time. But I understand how the NFL goes as well. Like, I'm not saying you got to come out here and be a superstar from day one, because I'm a realist as well. Like, I understand it's going to take repetition. It's going to take going through some stuff. It's going to take experience. Experience is the number one teacher. So just getting those live reps, though, I know just me being a rookie, like, I know how essential that is. So just I'm excited for him just to see how it feels. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, I understand, you know, all the success that he have, but the NFL is different. And just so he can feel how that is and just get that full experience, it's going to help him out. But, I mean, I got a ton of respect for him, ton of confidence in him. But I also understand, like, I don't have any expectations on the first game, man, because I understand, like, nothing's going to be perfect. So all he has to do is just be himself, and that's good enough because I've seen it on the practice field.
Tremaine, to that point, you guys have made it really hard on him in practice because you're a very good defense. How have you seen him deal with the struggles, that the things that you've thrown at him, and kind of deal with the frustrations that he's going through?
Right, and that's why, even answering that last question, I can say I have confidence in him, because I mean, we got a good defense, you know what I mean? And I can tell, you know, how he responds to certain situations, like, you know, this kid gonna be special for sure. So just seeing that and just seeing how he likes to compete, like I talked about it before, like, you know, somebody that wants to compete when it's in him and not, you know what I mean, we use that phrase, on him, like, They definitely set up to do good things. And, you know, I could see that in him. I could see it in his eyes, see it in the way that he talks, go about his business. So it's definitely going to be fun to watch.
His perspective on this is kind of unique, too, because he came in the same year as Josh Allen in Buffalo. So he got to see what was real clunky in 2018 and then subsequently got better. That by, you know, 2020, we were looking at an elite quarterback in the league. So having someone like that that's experienced some of this is key. And getting their perspective on it is a good thing.
Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We have Ray Diaz, Sean Sears, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka doing their stuff for us. And Mully and Haw did an outstanding job interviewing White Sox general manager Chris Getz. If you missed that, stick with us because you're going to want to hear it.
Yeah, we need to run through it. We need for you to hear it. Then we need to discuss it because like it's not the end-all be-all. It's not the only thing that Getz should be judged on, but you would hope that the guy that's in charge of the baseball operations of the White Sox would be better at selling his vision and his plan. And whether it's what he said at the trade deadline or what he said yesterday or what he said to Mully and Haw, I'm not sure that you can walk away from any of those conversations with Chris Getz and go, yep, that guy's totally on it, and he's going to get this thing moved in the right direction. So let's take a break. Let's hear from Chris Getz. Don't go anywhere. Bernstein at home.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm here with you until 2 on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Chris Getz has been the man in the news in front of a lot of cameras and microphones lately. He was on a phone this morning on with Mully and Haw, The White Sox GM was asked right out of the gate about the timing of firing manager Pedro Grifol.
Changes like this, I mean, you're never certain. There's no perfect time. And I'm, you know, you could argue that it should have been done at this point or this point or this point. We just felt like yesterday was the right time to do this. You know, there are a myriad of factors that go into a decision like this. But yesterday was the day. You know, we've got Grady Sizemore that's going to be the interim manager, and we're bringing up, you know, some other support staff and coaches from our minor league system that are familiar with not only myself, but the players that we have on this roster. So I feel like we've got a really good team of people to get this season to the finish line in a positive fashion. There's still opportunity for us to make strides, whether it be individually, as a team, as an organization, and I look forward to getting that started today with this fresh group.
Were you waiting for the losing streak to end? Was that a factor?
I think we were all waiting for that to end.
To make a move.
How related that was to you know, making the managerial change. You know, it just came to a point where, you know what, you know, the off day that morning, you know, going to call Pedro and others on the staff, and you know, bring in some new voices, in which we've done so. But it was a painful streak. Anyone that was in that clubhouse watching it, whether you're a fan, an employee, whomever, it was very, very difficult. Now, does that go into the change ultimately? It's certainly a factor. You know, I look back at where we went into the All-Star break and came out of the All-Star break, you know, in hopes that we were going to be refreshed and you know, play better baseball, get us finish some games where we would be leading games and couldn't get us to the finish line, or you know, looking for opportunities to come back late, and we just never were able to get to that point. So you know, we made the change.
Can you help us, Chris, to understand kind of the hierarchy of the team? What exactly is Tony La Russa's role? How often do you talk to him? And how influential is Tony in your decisions? Is he kind of the de facto Kenny at this point?
No. Tony and I have a very trusting relationship, and very much embodies the advisory title that he has. You know, his experiences are wide ranging in various roles. You know, sometimes I call him and ask him a question, and you know, perhaps I apply it immediately, or perhaps I wait for a different time, or I just throw it away and move on. So you know, he's a guy that I think is a positive influence, has been. But in regards to a hierarchy, it's, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm the final authority on these decisions. I take in different opinions along the way because that's the type of leader I am. I know I don't have all the answers. So, you know, you got to filter through some of the information that's coming in. And I lean on people within our front office, Josh Barfield, Jin Wong, Matt Koenig, a long list of individuals that are very bright and experienced. You know, and you know, the help to the decision making. But Tony is an ally, he's a friend. But beyond that, of that, Tony is making calls is you know, final say is not accurate. At the end of the day, it's me, and you know, I've got to make the decision on what's in the best interest of the Chicago White Sox.
And as you begin this search, I imagine it's going to be exhaustive and all encompassing, which I found interesting yesterday that you seem to eliminate candidates who are not in a major league uniform right now. There are guys with experience, notably Joe Girardi, or a guy like there are candidates out there, Terry Francona, who aren't active right now that might be guys you want to talk to. Also, it would seem to eliminate popular candidates like Ozzie Guillen and AJ Pierzynski. Why did you take the step of eliminating the kind of guys who aren't necessarily in a major league uniform right now from being possible candidates for the job?
Well, you know, it's still an evolving list, but there certainly is some truth to the pool of candidates we're going to be targeting, and there's certainly truth to people that are we're going to be targeting, people that are in uniform, and you know, and organizations other than the White Sox. And I realize that there are a lot of bright people that aren't currently with other organizations or in uniform or that are, you know, managers that perhaps just out of the game for a year or two. And then you've got, you know, the popular names like you listed. But, you know, this is a criteria that we've put together, and we're going to start there. I've got a tremendous amount of respect with the people that you just named. And I mean, I look at Ozzie, I've known Ozzie a long time, and he's I consider him a close friend. He brought me up to the big leagues. He fought for me. And I'll never forget that. And I really enjoyed playing for him. I really care and love the guy. And I know he has been extremely supportive along the way. But I still need to focus on what's best for the White Sox. And, you know, as it stands today, we're going to target, a list of people that fit the criteria that I believe are best for the Chicago White Sox moving forward.
Chris, is this your hire? In other words, are you picking the guy, searching for the guy? Is it you and no one else making this decision?
Yes. Yeah, it's my decision. I can't wait to get to down to work today. We're beginning to get organized with these candidates and get that process started. I think it's just a big day, a big portion of this season now is going to be in preparation for this exhaustive search and getting this team to the finish line to find, moments here for our young players to continue to get better and prepare for the following season. So we have a lot on our plate, but I'm really excited to get rolling.
You work in a city and your opponent tonight where the Cubs hired Craig Counsell and paid him more than any other manager in baseball, reportedly $8 million a year. The White Sox reportedly are at the other end of the spectrum. How much are the White Sox willing to spend to get the right manager, or is this organization not at the point yet where they can afford to hire that kind of manager for this kind of team?
Well, obviously the Craig Counsell situation with the Cubs is very much a unique one. Craig's obviously very talented, and I know that they're excited to have him over there. When it comes to the White Sox, it's going to start with what's the best fit for us. We start there. And those conversations evolve into the more of the mechanics of a contract or anything like that. I'm going in with a blank slate, looking for the best candidates, and you try to work out a deal to bring that person into the Chicago White Sox. But to go into detail in terms of contract length or the amount of money that you're going to spend on an annual basis for that, gosh, we I'm just focused on the pool of candidates and. You know, getting down to business and finding the right fit for us.
I'm curious, Chris, how do you sell this job to someone? Do you have to? Just because, you know, we're sitting here talking about you rebuilding a team from the studs up. You could argue that you haven't gotten there yet, that the teardown's still on. You got to figure out whether you're going to trade Garrett Crochet. You were shopping him. What do you get in return? Is Luis Robert part of the long-term future? Are you still tearing down here, and how do you sell that to someone?
Well, I the vision that we have here, and this goes back to when I was named in the fall last year and talking to employees that were outside of the organization and recruiting them to come in, and, they needed to understand what the process was going to be and what it eventually was going to look like. They had to have a belief in myself and others that remained in the organization. And we were able to bring in some, Brian Bannister, who's one of the sharper pitching minds in this game. And I brought in Josh Barfield, who was a successful farm director, with the Diamondbacks and others that have come in and help us lead the way. Now, this wasn't about, 2024. It wasn't. It was about building something sustainable for the future. And the process that goes into doing that, it's deep rooted. It really does start from the bottom, and it's going to take time to build up. But there are a lot of competitive, bright people that understand that and have watched and felt, this type of process be applied and worked in other organizations. So when people look back at their careers, they feel proud to be part of something like this. This is not something that was you know, just handed to me, and all of a sudden we were going to make a World Series run. That's not the case, and that rarely is in our game. If anything, you know, you continue to bring in the best talent that you can to help you in the front office, and obviously when it comes to coaches and scouts and analytic minds to help bring this all together. And as we build this, and eventually we'll get it to where it needs to be, there'll be nothing more rewarding. So, you know, that's the basis of this. It's going to take time. I'm looking for people that are willing to and eager to take on this challenge. And I am convinced that there are people that are going to want to be a part of this.
It's a massive challenge, Chris, because of the role and the job, but also because right now I think the fan base is as skeptical and as negative as they ever have been because of all the losing. And I wonder, this is your search. It's going to be your hire. But obviously you work for Jerry Reinsdorf. We have a lot of questions about what he thinks about what's going on. We don't hear from Jerry Reinsdorf very often. Can you help us understand or relay, how is he viewing this season? And is he aware of just how bad things have gotten? Because I think that there's a sense that he's not responding to what's going on. And the less we hear from him, the more we wonder.
Well, I mean, the change was made last fall because of the state of things with Chicago White Sox. And, you know, he definitely understands the challenges that we were going to face. You know, he's been very supportive along the way, and he understands the different phases of rebuilds. So, but we also understand the skepticism of our fan base and people that are watching, and those are not going to quiet until we get more wins in the win column. And I mean, that's just the reality of professional sports. It's certainly the reality of Major League Baseball. With that being said, you know, I look back at how our draft went and bringing in Hagen Smith and our farm system that's rising towards the top, and we'll continue to likely add to that. And then, you know, you look at some of the assets that we have on our major league club, some of these players and the attractiveness and that, you know, that to perhaps, you know, improve our major league club through future trades. But there is this a process that we have in place that makes sense to Jerry Reinsdorf, myself in the front office. And there will be a time that we'll feel, you know, the fruits of the labor at the major league level. We hope it's sooner rather than later, but there will be no shortcuts. But when we get it there, it's going to be very special for a lot of people.
It's great to hear that. I think that the problem that people are stuck on, and you know, I'm not saying that you're doing irrevocable damage to your reputation because you're losing or anybody. Jerry, whatever, but you're probably going to set a record for the worst season ever. And if you look at what's going on here, over 100 losses now, maybe the worst record ever. Is next year 100 losses or the year after that? What's your timetable on all that? I mean, I love the idea of building up the team and everybody going to be good and we're all going to enjoy the fruits of that labor for years to come. It's just, I got older family members and friends who feel like they're going to die before it happens.
Well, you know, like I said, this is not something that can be just turned around overnight. Do any of us want to be associated to our current record and potential record by the end of the season? Of course not. We traded Dylan Cease, you know, a week or two before the season started. We made moves at the trade deadline. You know, The focus here has been the long-term health of the organization and not just chasing wins for the 2024 season. Obviously, we want to win as many games as we can. We're all competitors. We feel like, you know, when you create a winning environment, you know, that is healthy for everyone involved. But with that being said, we know where we're at. And, you know, we continue to show up each day and you know, talking to Grady multiple times yesterday and looking forward to getting down to the stadium today, there's always something to play for at the major league level. There is. And, you know, from here on out, we're going to motivate our players the best that we can. They get excited to show up each day, play for each other, play for the Chicago White Sox. That's what we can control today. While, you know, whether it be myself and other leaders in the front office, okay, how do we not only improve the team that we currently have, but also for the future of the organization? We show up every day and we try to do that. And you stack that many days of that type of commitment, eventually, you know, it'll show up at our major league club. In the meantime, we're going to fight and claw towards the end. We'll get into the offseason and try to improve this club the best we can going into 2025.
Last thing, Chris, is tonight's Garrett Crochet's last start of the season? And if not, do you plan to shut him down?
This will not be his last start. Garrett's obviously had a tremendous season. One of the, certainly the bright spots of our club, but also baseball as well. And, we're very mindful of this part of the season as he navigates this late in the year as a major league starter for the first time. There are going to be more starts. We look forward to watching him pitch tonight.
Wow. Between the nervous laughter and all of the stammering and, a process we have in place that makes sense to Jerry Reinsdorf. We're applying a process that's worked in other organizations. What process? What process? What is this process? I don't understand. If you're saying that we're applying a process that's worked in other organizations, this organization doesn't want to have the resources that other organizations do. This organization is working with less overall information, proudly, than other organizations do. Process that makes sense to Jerry Reinsdorf. This is a Jerry Reinsdorf, whose favorite player is David Eckstein, who wants Eddie Stanky back and keeps talking about Branch Rickey. And you're tailoring a process that makes sense to him? Okay.
Maybe Chris Getz is better at explaining stuff to him than the previous regime was.
To Jerry?
Yeah.
Well, that's how he got his job. I hope he's happy because he talked his way into this job by telling Jerry a bunch of stuff about how fast things were going to happen. And now, when are things going to happen? I don't know. Who knows? I can't talk about any of that. We don't know when anything is going to happen. But you were hired without an interview process. You were hired because you're here and could get going fast.
Boots on the ground. You could do it quickly.
And now you're just saying that we're beginning to start this exhaustive search. It's not an exhaustive search. You've already ruled out a ton of people.
All to hire Skip Schumacher.
Right. Come on. Come on. Well, and I call Tony La Russa, and sometimes I listen, and sometimes I don't listen. Why are you calling him at all?
Chris Getz is the final boss.
Why are you calling him at all? Why do you have to call Tony La Russa at all?
Well, Tony calls him.
Now, he didn't say that.
He calls Tony.
He said he calls Tony. I would say...
For advice.
I would say don't. If you're in charge.
Yeah, but he does.
But if you're in charge, don't.
Because he knows.
It's...
He has to.
Right. Because he's not in charge.
Yes, he is. Chris Getz is the final boss.
No, I still don't buy it.
No?
I don't. Everything
That's
is...
what he said.
Well.
So guess what? You're going to be held to it.
Okay. Wow. All right, well, let's...
Final boss.
Let's react in full when we come back on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Tony and I have a very trusting relationship and very much embodies the advisory title that he has. His experiences are wide ranging in various roles. Sometimes I call him and ask him a question and perhaps I apply it immediately or perhaps I wait for a different time or I just throw it away and move on.
Okay, well then why bother?
Because he wants his advice.
Okay. I just don't... He doesn't seem to believe anything he says. That's the problem I have.
Oh, he believes he's the final boss.
He doesn't really seem to believe what he says. He doesn't sound like someone in charge of something.
No, maybe that'll come with time. Maybe he'll get more comfortable in the gig and all that stuff. It just They're not going to tell you the truth about what their plans are.
I don't know that they know what they are.
I wish that they would let White Sox fans off the hook a little bit.
Like, what would do that?
Guys, we're not trying to win. Go about your lives. They're not going to do that. That'd be stupid of them. They're going to continue to try and convince people that they are trying to win. And I don't know how, if you're a White Sox fan, you can look at any of it and say, oh yeah, this is where you're at. If you listen to what White Sox fans have been saying via social media, what they tell us on text when they call in the shows, it's doom. There's not a lot of hope. And where would that hope come from? Like, even if you thought, like, if
they had made a bunch of deals for top prospects, maybe, like, soon-to-be Major League-ready prospects instead of these just spins of the wheel, maybe you're thinking 3 years.
Yeah, and you have to take some of the spins of the wheel, too. Like, that's part of it. You got to try and get some young athletic guys in your organization. Like, that, I don't have a problem with that. It's just that you're right. If you had a star, not someone where you had to squint and turn your head sideways, a star that you knew was going to be here and be a star, or had the chance to be a star, then you're talking about 3 years. And that's if your owner is willing to spend. The history tells you that this owner is not willing to spend.
Well, that's why I think Mully asked the question about what they would spend on a manager.
I think it's a great question that he asked about that. Because your search can't be exhaustive if you have to eliminate people from the search because you can't afford them. That's not you exhausting all of the possibilities.
He's also put in criteria, and he didn't even defend the criteria of someone from another organization currently in uniform. He didn't really defend it. He just said, well, that's the criteria. Why? Why don't you have a truly exhaustive search? Why not find? He says best fit. Okay, find. That's fine, but that usually means we've already made up our mind and we need somebody who's not going to ruffle feathers or ask difficult questions or make us change what we want to do or spend more money.
Yeah, the spend more money part is kind of what I took from that. The best fit part is someone who we can hire the person that we want at a price that we can afford.
Who's going to allow Tony La Russa to be here and will also know that he has to call Tony La Russa.
He doesn't have to, Dan. He wants to.
No, that's still the guy with the owner's ear. That's the top baseball person in the organization.
Yes, until that changes, it's hard for anyone in a leadership role of the White Sox to act otherwise. And in Pedro's case, he used to go as so far as to say how important Tony was in some of the decisions that he would make, which I think flies in the face of what Chris is talking about. But whatever, like, it's just, I know that once we get through this cycle, and maybe the cycle ends today, that we're not going to be thinking about the White Sox pretty much at all for a while. And I think that's probably better for everyone involved. But I don't understand. I wish I had an answer to this. I wish that it was easy to understand why they keep falling into this outside of it being a Jerry Reinsdorf thing. I don't know why. The smartest people there, and there are plenty of them, haven't either left. And maybe it's because they feel like they can make change from the inside on this. But It just feels doomed. And I don't want to live in the space where I'm wishing for something bad to happen to Jerry Reinsdorf. Like that doesn't feel very good. What I want is for him to realize the reason that he owns a baseball team in the first place, to compete. And if it's already become too much of a burden, then why don't you sell? I don't think any White Sox fan is holding on to, well, it's got to be a Reinsdorf-owned White Sox team. And I know that he, when trying to make the threats about the 78, well, I'm the only thing standing in between you and this team leaving Chicago.
So?
Well, if the team's going to be this, Dan, if this is the way that it's going to be, then why would White Sox fans even want to root for it?
You use the word that I think is key there, burden. Burden. That's what it feels like. Rather than a sense of joy, you're carrying this around with you. Being a White Sox fan is a millstone around your neck. The whole thing, all the history, everything you've shared, it feels like a burden. It's heavy. The little bits of joy. You fired Jason Benetti. The owner decided he didn't like Jason Benetti. The hiring of Tony La Russa, the removal of a beloved broadcaster, objectively great broadcaster, entertaining, nice, funny, everything. For this schmuck, and this is what you do to us? And I'm done carrying the burden.
I decided at the end of last year that I was done carrying the burden. And there were a lot of people who were saying to me, well, how could you do that? Because this doesn't represent me anymore. This is not what I want from my baseball experience anymore. And I know that there are deeper attachments to this team, and I had to fight through them too. That the idea of the White Sox means more than just a baseball team to a lot of people. But that's not being respected. The connection with the South Side is not being respected. And I would say that the power grab that they tried with the 78 is an example of that. All of that history and nostalgia that the White Sox will use to keep fans holding on, for it to be a part of their identity as Southsiders, was usurped when ownership kind of blamed you and the neighborhood for why they can't grow and expand. And why do you want to, if it were a great team, you might want to put up with that, but the worst one?
When we come back, James Feegan will give us all the latest information about who's where and who does what after yesterday's purges. Next on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Tony and I have a very trusting relationship, and very much embodies the advisory title that he has. You know, his experiences are wide ranging in various roles. You know, sometimes I call him and ask him a question, and you know, perhaps I apply it immediately, or perhaps I wait for a different time, or I just throw it away and move on.
Okay, well then why bother?
Because he wants his advice.
Okay. I just don't... He doesn't seem to believe anything he says. That's the problem I have.
Oh, he believes he's the final boss.
He doesn't really seem to believe what he says. He doesn't sound like someone in charge of something.
No. Maybe that'll come with time. Maybe he'll get more comfortable in the gig and all that stuff. It just they're not going to tell you the truth about what their plans are.
I don't know that they know what they are.
I wish that they would let White Sox fans off the hook a little bit.
Like, what would do that?
Guys, we're not trying to win. Go about your lives. They're not going to do that. That'd be stupid of them. They're going to continue to try and convince people that they are trying to win. And I don't know how, if you're a White Sox fan, you can look at any of it and say, oh yeah, this is where you're at. If you listen to what White Sox fans have been saying via social media, what they tell us on text when they call in the shows, it's doom. There's not a lot of hope. And where would that hope come from? Like, even if you thought, like, if
they had made a bunch of deals for top prospects, maybe, like, soon to be major league ready prospects instead of these just spins of the wheel. Maybe look, you're thinking 3 years.
Yeah, and you have to take some of the spins of the wheel too. Like, that's part of it. You got to try and get some young athletic guys in your organization. Like, that, I don't have a problem with that. It's just that you're right. If you had a star, not someone where you had to squint and turn your head sideways, a star that you knew was going to be here and be a star, or had the chance to be a star, then you're talking about 3 years. And that's if your owner is willing to spend. The history tells you that this owner is not willing to spend.
Well, that's why I think Mully asked the question about what they would spend on a manager.
I think it's a great question that he asked about that. Because your search can't be exhaustive if you have to eliminate people from the search because you can't afford them. That's not you exhausting all of the possibilities.
He's also put in criteria, and he didn't even defend the criteria of someone from another organization currently in uniform. He didn't really defend it. He just said, well, that's the criteria. Why? Why don't you have a truly exhaustive search? Why not find? He says best fit. Okay, find. That's fine. But that usually means we've already made up our mind and we need somebody who's not going to ruffle feathers or ask difficult questions or make us change what we want to do or spend more money.
Yeah, the spend more money part is kind of what I took from that. The best fit part is someone who we can hire the person that we want at a price that we can afford.
Who's going to allow Tony La Russa to be here and will also know that he has to call Tony La Russa?
He doesn't have to, Dan. He wants to.
No, that's still the guy with the owner's ear. That's the top baseball person in the organization.
Yes, until that changes, it's hard for anyone in a leadership role of the White Sox to act otherwise. And in Pedro's case, he used to go as so far as to say how important Tony was in some of the decisions that he would make, which I think flies in the face of what Chris is talking about. But whatever. Like, it's just, I know that once we get through this cycle, and maybe the cycle ends today, that we're not going to be thinking about the White Sox pretty much at all for a while. And I think that's probably better for everyone involved. But I don't understand. I wish I had an answer to this. I wish that it was easy to understand why they keep falling into this outside of it being a Jerry Reinsdorf thing. I don't know why the smartest people there, and there are plenty of them, haven't either left. And maybe it's because they feel like they can make change from the inside on this. But it just feels doomed. And I don't want to live in the space where I'm wishing for something bad to happen to Jerry Reinsdorf. Like that doesn't feel very good. What I want is for him to realize the reason that he owns a baseball team in the first place, to compete. And if it's already become too much of a burden, then why don't you sell? I don't think any White Sox fan is holding on to, well, it's got to be a Reinsdorf-owned White Sox team. And I know that he, when trying to make the threats about the 78, well, I'm the only thing standing in between you and this team leaving Chicago.
So?
Well, if the team's going to be this, Dan, if this is the way that it's going to be, then why would White Sox fans even want to root for it?
You use the word that I think is key there, burden. Burden. That's what it feels like. Rather than a sense of joy, you're carrying this around with you. Being a White Sox fan is a millstone around your neck. The whole thing, all the history, everything you've shared, it feels like a burden. It's heavy. The little bits of joy. You fired Jason Benetti. The owner decided he didn't like Jason Benetti. The hiring of Tony La Russa, the removal of a beloved broadcaster, objectively great broadcaster, entertaining, nice, funny, everything. For this schmuck, and this is what you do to us, and I'm done carrying the burden.
I decided at the end of last year that I was done carrying the burden. And there were a lot of people who were saying to me, well, how could you do that? Because this doesn't represent me anymore. This is not what I want from my baseball experience anymore. And I know that there are deeper attachments to this team, and I had to fight through them too, that the idea of the White Sox means more than just a baseball team to a lot of people. But that's not being respected. The connection with the South Side is not being respected. And I would say that the power grab that they tried with the 78 is an example of that. All of that history and nostalgia that the White Sox will use to keep fans holding on, for it to be a part of their identity as Southsiders, was usurped when ownership kind of blamed you and the neighborhood for why they can't grow and expand. And why do you want to, if it were a great team, you might want to put up with that, but the worst one?
When we come back, James Feegan will give us all the latest information about who's where and who does what after yesterday's purges, next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.